Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. What is the world to me with all its vaunted pleasure, when thou and thou alone, Lord Jesus, art my treasure? Thou only, dearest Lord, my soul's delight shalt be. Thou art my peace, my rest. What is the world to me? The world is like a cloud and like a vapor fleeting, a shadow that declines, swift to its end retreating. My Jesus doth abide. Though all things fade and flee, my everlasting rock, what is the world to me? The world seeks after wealth and all that mammon offers, yet never is content, though gold should fill its coffers. I have a higher good, content with it I'll be. My Jesus is my wealth. What is the world to me? The Lord abideth not, lo, like a flash 'twill vanish. With all its gorgeous pomp, pale death it cannot banish. Its riches pass away, and all its joys must flee. But Jesus doth abide. What is the world to me? Some of those stanzas are in our current hymnal, LSB, and some of them are not. Only four of these stanzas make it into the current hymnal, which is why tonight you have a TLH with you, so that we can sing all eight stanzas that were written. That is beautiful poetry. And I hope and I pray that when you see a hymn, you look at the words that are being sung. You meditate on them. I think we've lost the art of reading and writing. And while that's true overall, I mean about poetry too. When was the last time you sat down with a book of poems and read? Did you read just to get through it, just to check it off your list? Or did you spend a little bit of leisure time in poetry that matters? Poetry about the truth that is Jesus Christ. There's a number of poetry in the scriptures, God's own poems for us, his people. This hymn, What is the World to Me, is beautiful poetry. It is one of my favorite hymns, and it uses the word mammon, which was used both in our gospel lesson on Sunday and our gospel lesson tonight, as our gospel lesson tonight is a continuation of Sunday's. That word, mammon, it is just a transliteration. It's there in the Greek. But what does it mean? Maybe we should, with the modern translations, get rid of mammon altogether and just say money. But the word money in and of itself doesn't really capture the whole thing. Money isn't inherently evil. It is a tool that can be used for both good and for bad. It can be used for good to extend God's kingdom. When we buy good books, when we pay the extra mile to make sure that our children receive a good, godly education, when we care not about the cost, but rather that the salvation is present, that the words of Jesus Christ permeate in everything that we do, everything that we hear, everything that we see. Money can be used for evils too. Think about how much money an organization like Planned Parenthood takes in. And for what? To destroy life. So yes, money can be bad, but it can also be good. We receive money here at the church, and then we use that money to tell others about Jesus. We use that money to make sure that children hear the message, that you hear that message, that we can do things and be active in our community. We use that money every month toward a different mission, that God's word may go out to the nations and here at home too. So it's not money that's inherently evil, but mammon is more than money. Mammon is the love of money, the desire of money. the fear of money and the trust of money. In times when inflation is through the roof, in times when to fill up your gas tank, it's more than it really should be, we can become freaked out. We can try to hoard our money as though it's ours to begin with. But it's not, is it? It's God's. Every single thing that I have and you have is a gift from Him to be used for His glory. And that's exactly what we should do with it. We should be shrewd with money, not wasteful, but using it for that which is good, using it to further God's kingdom, a prayer that is prayed over those plates that are brought up each time. Lord, please use this not according to our will, but according to Thy will. Use it to extend Thy kingdom. That is why we are here. We are here to receive His gifts. And far more important than the money, it's a real tangible gift. It's the gift of salvation. It's the gift of forgiveness of sins. It's the gift of adoption through the waters of holy baptism. It's the gift of bread and wine that are truly Christ's body and blood that we receive for our forgiveness. It is the message that Jesus Christ died for your sins, and not for yours only, but for the sins of the whole world. For the rich, for the poor, and for the middle class and all in between. This message is for all people. Our love of money, our fear of money, our trust in money show that money can become a god to us, an idol for us. God desires not our attachment to the things of this world, but rather our attachment to Him. What is our focus in life? Do you send your kids to college just so they can make more money? Or do you make sure that they receive what is necessary in order to provide for their families? Do you encourage your sons or your grandsons to find that gainful employment? Maybe it is through college, maybe it's through the trades, maybe it's through doing something else. But to provide and to trust. Do we trust God or do we trust commerce? Do we trust a free market? Do we trust the government to simply say, hey, it's a fine, we'll print some more money, don't worry? Do we watch as all of that crumbles and falls? Do we quickly run to crypto? And if you really understand crypto, talk to me, because I don't understand it at all. But what do we put our faith in? We use God's gifts to further His kingdom, to tell other people about what He has done, to make sure that our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, those who are far off, may hear the message of Jesus Christ. That is what we are to do. Jesus is very pointed in our gospel lesson. You cannot serve two masters. For you will love the one and hate the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. It's true. God will not be rivaled. And God will not look kindly on those who reject Him as creator and instead worship His creation. You cannot serve God and mammon. So you have a choice to make. Will you, as a Christian, as a person who has the Holy Spirit living and active inside of you, choose to follow God, or will you choose mammon? The devil desires you to choose mammon, because the devil desires you to do anything that takes you away from the sure and certain hope in Jesus Christ. The devil and this world chase after that mammon, that love of the creation, that love of money, of accumulating things for ourselves. I truly believe that God is giving us an opportunity here, that in all the turmoil of all the events in 2020 and the years to come ahead, of the great reset that they will attempt by 2030, of reducing the carbon that is you, people, that God is giving us a chance to reset as well, to recalibrate, to reorder our lives, to reprioritize our lives around Him. Not chasing the paper, not trying to get ahead in those things, but rather focusing on Him. Jesus tells the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, very pointedly, St. Luke writes, and he says to them, "You are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. For what is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God." Do we sacrifice our children and our grandchildren at the altars in order to get ahead monetarily? Do we place them in someone else's care so that we don't have to? So that we can get out there and make a few extra dollars? Or do we realize that all of these things are truly gifts from Him? These are hard words, but these are hard times. And the day has come where we give our whole self over to God. He desires you. He loves you. He will guide you. And He will prepare your path for you. You do not need to be so afraid about where that money is, where the world wants you to be, but rather put your whole heart in Jesus and trust that He wins the victory. Trust that no matter how hard this life might be, the eternal gates of heaven await those who put their faith in Jesus Christ. Believe in Him. What is the world to me? The church sings, "Evil world, I leave thee. Thou canst not deceive me. Thine appeal is vain. Sin that once did blind me, get thee far behind me. Come not forth again. Past thy hour, O pride and power, sinful life, thy bonds I sever. Leave thee now forever. Hence all fear and sadness, for the Lord of gladness, Jesus, enters in. Those who love the Father, though the storms may gather, still have peace within. Yea, whate'er I here must bear, thou art still my purest pleasure. Jesus, priceless treasure." Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.